Welcome to the Georgia Today podcast. Here, we bring you the latest reports from the GPB newsroom. On today's episode, Georgia Republicans seek President Trump's endorsement in the upcoming Senate race. Georgia's voting system has been sold to a former Republican elections director, and as the federal government shutdown stretches on, air travelers could experience delays.
The only way to make it work, if the staffing is bad a day, there's weather for a day, there's equipment issues for the day, is you have to reduce the efficiency of the system.
Today is Thursday, October 16th. I'm Peter Biello, and this is Georgia Today. The Department of Homeland Security has reopened a controversial South Georgia immigration detention facility. GPB's Grant Blankenship has more.
The Irwin ICE detention facility in Irwin County was closed after detainees raised the alarm about unnecessary gynecological procedures performed there. Now, ICE has confirmed that Irwin reopened last week, beginning a slow ramping up of detentions there to an unspecified capacity. Azadeh Shashahani is a legal scholar and attorney with Project South, the group whose reporting first brought to light conditions at Irwin and which informed later Senate investigations.
You know, all the migrant women who were detained there and suffered medical abuse. Obviously, I can't imagine how much pain they are in right now to learn of this.
ICE has not said whether the facility would be used to detain men, women, or both. For GPB News, I'm Grant Blankenship in Macon.
Georgia Republicans hoping to unseat U.S. Senator John Ossoff in the 2026 election are courting President Donald Trump's endorsement. The president talked briefly about the race yesterday, answering a reporter's question in an unrelated news conference. He said Governor Brian Kemp has lobbied him on behalf of former football coach Derek Dooley.
A lot of good people in that field.
Yes.
I know all of them, actually. I haven't made a decision on that, but you have some very good people in the Georgia Senate race.
Well, Governor has endorsed.
No, the governor has. He's spoken to me about it a lot. He likes that candidate a lot. And I understand that. I haven't made a decision yet.
The major candidates also include Congressman Mike Collins and Buddy Carter. All three GOP hopefuls have racked up endorsements and millions of dollars in their campaign accounts as they vie for Trump's backing. Dominion Voting Systems, the company contracted to supply Georgia's elections equipment, has been sold to a former Republican elections director. GPB's Chase McGee has more.
In 2019, Georgia entered a 10-year contract with Dominion and has since spent more than $100 million on election infrastructure. During the 2020 election, the company was plagued by baseless conspiracy theories, which alleged their voting machines rigged ballots in favor of then-candidate Joe Biden. Dominion's new owner, Scott Lindecker of Missouri-based Liberty Votes, wrote in a message that his company was, quote, committed to transparency, independent audits, and verifiable paper records, echoing challenges to past elections. In a statement to Georgia Public Broadcasting, Secretary of State spokesman Robert Sinners said, quote, this sale will not affect any of our existing service agreements. He added there would be no impact on current elections for two Public Service Commission seats. For GPB News, I'm Chase McGee.
Anti-gambling activists told a Georgia House subcommittee today that more gambling in Georgia could lead to more addiction. Harry Levant is the director for gambling policy at Northeastern University and a former gambling addict. He told the committee studying gambling policy that while he supports some gaming, it should come with heavy regulations.
Online gambling has become a direct threat to public health, resulting in a mental health crisis in this country. And it doesn't have to be that way.
The committee also has held meetings to hear from pro-gambling activists who say expanding betting in the state could pave the way for more regulation in the industry and more money for the Hope Scholarship. Air traffic controllers got a partial paycheck this week, but unless the government shutdown ends quickly, their October 28th paycheck will be zero. Dan McCabe, Southern Regional Vice President for the National Air Traffic Controllers Association, says Atlanta area tower staffing is already tight, even without a funding lapse, and any additional stress would be felt by passengers in travel delays.
There's two things that really affect the system of air traffic control. There's safety and efficiency. Only one of those is on a sliding scale because safety cannot move. It has to stay at the highest level. So the only way to make it work is if the staffing is bad a day, there's weather for a day, there's equipment issues for the day, is you have to reduce the efficiency of the system, because we will not allow the safety margin to drop.
The union stresses its members need to keep working during a shutdown. Open enrollment for Georgia Medicare plans began yesterday. GPB's Sophie Gratis has more on where Georgia's Medicare program ranks. That's according to a new report from the nonprofit Commonwealth Fund.
17% of Georgians are enrolled in a Medicare program, including 1.7 million people over 65. Most have chosen the private Medicare Advantage option, according to the report. Based on quality, cost, and accessibility to care, Georgia's Medicare program ranks in the bottom quarter nationally. The state has a higher-than-average rate of older people who report feeling lonely, have chronic illness, face food insecurity, and are hospitalized for preventable conditions. Yet being on Medicare usually results in better outcomes for older adults, says the report, especially in access to care. Georgia's State Health Insurance Assistance Program and its counselors can help navigate coverage options for free via telephone. Enrollment ends on December 7th. For GPB News, I'm Sophie Gratis.
The superintendent of Georgia's third largest school district is resigning after being indicted on federal charges. The DeKalb County School Board accepted Devin Horton's resignation effective November 15th. A federal grand jury last week indicted Horton on 17 counts, including wire fraud and tax evasion. Horton faces allegations of running a kickback scheme and stealing money from a suburban Chicago school district. DeKalb school board members had been facing calls to fire Horton. Board members also voted yesterday to hire an auditor to examine spending under Horton. The board has named former Chief of Student Services Norman Sauce as acting superintendent. Two advocacy groups founded by Georgia Democrat Stacey Abrams are shutting down. The New Georgia Project and its Action Fund said today the organizations officially will dissolve and thank supporters for, quote, years of dedication. Abrams founded the project in 2013 to energize non-white and young voters. Its Action Fund was its candidate endorsing arm. The move ends a decade of political influence that boosted Democrats. In recent years, the groups faced internal problems and legal challenges.
A toxic fire, a plume of smoke, and a community demanding answers. In Conyers, Georgia, the biolab disaster left residents searching for truth and accountability. This season, GPB uncovers system failures, hears from whistleblowers, and follows neighbors still fighting to be heard. I'm Pamela Kirkland. Join me for season 2 of Manufacturing Danger, the Biolab Story. Listen now at gpb.org/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts.
A group of Macon area residents is pushing back on a gas pipeline that would cut through more than 900 properties across the state. The $3.5 billion Kinder Morgan project is aimed at growing energy demand. Five Monroe County homeowners could succeed in their efforts to reroute the pipeline in their area. Comcast is laying off 240 people at its regional office in Metro Atlanta's Cobb County. The media and technology giant told state officials yesterday the workforce reductions are part of a corporate restructuring. The move comes as the company seeks to make itself leaner to bolster its struggling broadband business. And that is a wrap on Georgia Today. Thank you so much for tuning in, and thanks for supporting GPB. On air, you may have heard we're doing our fall fund drive. And if you'd like to support the news you trust on GPB and this podcast, make a contribution at gpb.org. Just click on donate. And if you want to learn more about the stories you heard on the podcast today, check out gpb.org/news. Remember to subscribe to this podcast as well. That way we'll stay current in your podcast feed. And your feedback is welcome at georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Peter Biello. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.